So finally, here we are at the start of what's likely to be a hard-fought campaign and a hard-to-predict election. The parties of the outgoing government will be hoping they can buck the trend, which has seen incumbents in many countries being removed from office. Sinn Féin, the smaller parties and the large cohort of independent candidates will be hoping to tap public dissatisfaction on issues like housing and healthcare. There will be 174 seats in the next Dáil, an increase of 14, and several new constituencies. We're going first of all this afternoon to our political correspondent, Paul Cunningham. Paul, the posters have been going up. I saw my first one before 8 o'clock this morning. Will you talk us through the expected sequence of events this afternoon?
Well, the Taoiseach Simon Harris has returned from Hungary, where he was at a meeting of European leaders. He was travelling on the government jet and therefore landed at Casement Aerodrome in Balldonnell, is making his way to government buildings. We expect him to arrive in the next couple of minutes. He's going to meet some of his officials, and then we expect in the next half an hour he will walk down the steps of government buildings in central Dublin and he will make a brief statement. He's not going to take any questions from journalists because he's got some constitutional duties to do. He gets in the car and he travels to Áras an Uachtaráin, where he will meet the President, Michael D. Higgins. That's expected around 20 past two, and he will then officially seek and request that the President dissolves the Dáil. Now, there has been some pressure coming from people who would like the Dáil to stay in situ until such a time as the Occupied Territories Bill is passed, but I think constitutionally that's not going to happen. I think the President will dissolve the Dáil, and then shortly after that the Minister for Housing and Local Government, Dara O'Brien, he will officially sign the document, move the writ for the general election. And it's only at that point, Rachel, at the signing of the writ, that election posters are supposed to go up on polls. But as you said, a number of enthusiastic politicians were out this morning and a good few of them are already up in the city. The Taoiseach himself, once he leaves the park, once he leaves Áras an Uachtaráin, he's then going to be the Fine Gael leader rather than the Taoiseach. He's heading straight out to Dublin and he begins the campaign trail proper.
On the posters, this is it, all right, Paul. I'd say if any of the parties stuck strictly to the rules, they'll find that they might have missed the best spot on the lamppost. What will the other party leaders be doing over the next few hours?
Well, some of them are already out. The Taoiseach, Micheál Martin, already was meeting some of his supporters just outside Leinster House over on Merrion Square, including the Dublin Bay South TD, Jim O'Callaghan. He was talking about how he's hitting the road. He's going to meet an awful lot of Fianna Fáil TDs in Dublin today. And he was emphasising that leadership and experience was needed over the next 4 or 5 years as difficult times. That's sort of somewhat an echo of the Taoiseach Simon Harris, that experience is required to navigate the next term of government. He also then went on to say that across Ireland, there are fears in relation to personal safety. And maybe that was a bit of a nudge at Fine Gael, which has held the finance portfolio for many years. Other parties have also been out. People Before Profits, Richard Boy Barrett, his party had a huge big banner hanging off the Ha'penny Bridge in central Dublin, which said 100 years of Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael in government is too much. We need to have a change. And that's also going to be echoed by Sinn Féin. Around 2:30, Mary Lou McDonald, the party leader, and her front bench, they're going to have a campaign launch in Dublin, which once again says we need a left-leaning government. Labour Party was also out today. They took a different tack and they were launching a housing policy document saying we need to have 50,000 homes being built on average every year for the next 5 years. So they've gone into the detail. Expect all of that and more coming up over the next 21 days.
Yeah, so an incredibly busy few hours ahead. Paul, thank you very much for that. We'll be returning to Paul later on in the programme and shortly we'll be talking to a panel about what we can expect over those 3 weeks. But before we do, thousands of young people will be eligible to vote for the first time. Our education correspondent Emma O'Kelly has been speaking to students at Ardscoil Wirra in Limerick.
I feel excited. Even like the other day, I was like in my room and I saw like the locals going around helping get people like to get votes. And like even like my mum be saying like, oh, I can't wait to actually pick someone that's going to do something, because I see like people like in their 20s now, like they're just out of college or like they're in college, like they really know like what's going on at the moment and like they know the issues because like they're going through it themselves.
What kind of changes are important to you?
See, being in Clare, it's just a bit different from Limerick. Like, it's such a city, like there's so much stuff happening. Like, the only things that like kind of affect us is like the storms or like the really bad weather. And I just feel like with Clare County Council, like like stuff need to be changed. Like they just need to like work, do more stuff.
Caoimhe, tell me, you were all watching the American elections.
Well, we kept up with it constantly because nowadays everything is social media.
And has that whetted your appetite for elections, do you think?
A small bit, especially because it's coming up to the time with ours, so we got to see how much they're affected by it and how excited the Americans were, so it gets us a bit more riled up for ours.
You'll have your own voice.
Yeah, I'll get to have my own voice and tell people what I want to feel and at least get my own vote in it.
Those views gathered by our education correspondent, Emma O'Kelly. Let's talk now to Dr. Teresa Reedy, who's a political scientist at UCC. She's in our Cork studio. And to Dr. Kevin Cunningham, lecturer in politics and chair of the MA in journalism at TU Dublin. You're both very welcome. Let's start with yourself, Teresa. How important are campaigns?
Campaigns matter enormously for a whole series of reasons. The first thing, and many people over the last couple of days have been talking about how the exit poll in 2020 told us that more than half of voters made up their mind during the course of the campaign. In fact, exit polls going all the way back to 1997 tell us that around half of voters make up their mind during the campaign. For some voters, that means just they resolve to vote for the party or candidate that they've been leaning towards all along. But many voters are what we might call floating voters, and they make up their minds in the course of the campaign. So there are a lot of votes up for grabs in the next 18 to 19 days or so. And so we, when we talk about campaigns, we talk about how they inform voters. They tell them, you know, what the political parties are offering. The parties themselves then hope that they're going to persuade the voters. And I think as we get closer to election day, we must remember that campaigns are also about mobilising voters. They're about getting people actually out to vote, telling people when the polling is taking place, where they can go and vote, and encouraging them to use their ballot. So campaigns really do matter, and that's why very large amounts of money and time and effort are invested in them by all of the political parties and the candidates, but also by the state in terms of encouraging voters to express their democratic voice.
And there's another thing that we know about Irish voters, Kevin, and that's that they like to be asked for their vote.
Yeah, I mean, they do like to be asked for their vote as well. I mean, I think in terms of the local campaigns, it's incredibly important. Just following on from Teresa's point about the late deciders as well in particular, there are certainly a lot of late deciders who will decide on the basis of the candidate that they're offered on the day. And they'll be discovering who those candidates are over the course of this particular campaign. And so that's one of the reasons why the campaign itself is important. But also, to follow on from Teresa's point and to reflect, I guess, that Sinn Féin and PPP messaging that we just heard about, that change message, that's also quite important in this particular campaign because a lot of late deciders, as it were, are voting on the basis of strategic or tactical reasons. A lot of them might not be as initiated with politics, might not be paying as much attention as they nor as most voters do. And so as a result, they're kind of making their decisions a little bit later, quite often on the basis of discovering who is actually in government, who's not in government, and how do I actually change that? And we saw that at the last election in some respect, how the change message itself worked very well for Sinn Féin as they got that kind of very late surge, particularly when the campaign itself kicked off, when voters realised who was in government, who wasn't, and what was the real option for change. And that's a real potential for the change messaging for late deciders. And
Teresa, it was interesting there to hear Emma's students talk about the American presidential election. Is there a lesson from America here in that elections invariably do end up coming back to the economy in one form or another?
I mean, I think that's a very important point. I think what we will see happening in the next while is quite a difference in terms of what the government parties would like to spend their time talking about in this election and what other the opposition parties. For the government, emphasising the economy in the Irish case is actually a strong point. And we have some very nice research from the National Elections and Democracy Study that tells us that voters that prioritise the economy and mention the cost of living as their most significant issues, they were more likely to lean towards the government parties, particularly Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil, whereas voters that emphasise what we might grouped together as quality of life issues, particularly around housing, childcare, the health system, then some of the opposition parties have better cases to make there. So here I think the government in particular will want us to be talking about the economy and want to be talking about in two different ways. One is that the Irish economy is doing well and that kind of performance is benefiting everybody, but also that there are storm clouds ahead, and in particular that the potential ramifications of the Trump election for the Irish economy. I mean, this morning the Chinese have announced they're putting together a $1.4 trillion investment package in anticipation of potential turbulence in the world economy. The German government has collapsed in the last couple of days. There are a lot of storm clouds ahead, both in the immediate sense, but also in terms of the overall model of the economy. So the government will be seeking to say, you know, don't change course now. We're the more experienced ones. But of course, the opposition will be seeking to say, you know, look at the way in which we're vulnerable to the kind of vagaries of globalisation. But I think the opposition parties will really get more traction when it comes to those quality of life issues. And they'll be wanting to put them on the agenda, particularly in relation to housing. I think the kind of last one to finish up on, though, is immigration. And that's a very interesting one, because we know that voters are concerned about that as an issue, and that it kind of went up and down the agenda, but it's certainly in the top five issues that voters are concerned about. But actually, there's not a lot of incentive for many of the political parties to bring that up. So it's an issue that's caused difficulty for Sinn Féin, as we know, over the last couple of months. But it's not something that the government parties particularly want to talk about either. And this is the other dynamic of campaigns. We have to think about it in a number of layers. There are the issues that the voters are concerned about and that they are interested in. But there's also a structure to campaigns that's driven by the political parties, by their manifestos, the leaders' debates, and not all of the issues get equal airing over the duration of the campaign.
Yeah, Kevin, it can go off the rails, though, can't it? I mean, who would have thought back in 2020 that we would end up talking not just about the age at which someone should qualify for the state pension, but also at the very start of the campaign, there was quite a row over whether it was appropriate to commemorate the RIC. So presumably this time out, there will be something similar. We just don't know what it is yet.
Yeah, there's a massive amount of uncertainty around campaigns, around campaign events, and the extent to which they can emphasise the issues that Teresa was talking about there. There are certain issues like housing, which kind of get emphasised a little bit more than others. The RIC event, we kind of looked at some of the data around that. I'm not sure if that's really what triggered, you know, the Sinn Féin surge to any great extent. But just to reinforce as well a little bit what Teresa was saying in relation to that cost of living element, and again, how the government itself, when it comes to its approval rating on various different issues, you know, it's plus 38 when it comes to its approval rating when it comes to the economy, and yet it's minus 41 and 44 when it comes to things like immigration and healthcare. Just very sharply different. And
my gosh, those are quite some statistics.
They're
what you found from polling people.
From polling, from asking people, do they think the government is doing a good job or a bad job, very good or very bad, and you subtract, you know, the good from the bad, or subtract the bad from the good there, and these are the figures. You're getting minus 25 when it comes to housing and minus 21 when it comes to crime. So there's some issues which are very significant weak points for the government, but then obviously there are some very strong points for the government when it comes to the economy. And that contrasts very sharply with that of the US. And even it contrasts quite sharply with autumn 2022, when Sinn Féin were up at 36-37% in the polls. That was when the cost of living was at 75-76% of voters emphasising that issue. The absence of that issue has really helped the government. And we've seen how individual voters within panel data have shifted from Sinn Féin to, in many cases, independence and AIM2 over immigration, but also from Sinn Féin to the government parties. And those sorts of voters were the ones that really thought the cost of living was important and now are slightly less likely to think that's the case.
All right. Well, listen, but thank you both very much for now, and we will be returning to you shortly.